Sci-Fi.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One skeptic, one believer, and one guest. This episode is produced by our Patreon, Samuel B. Thank you, Samuel B, for the beers.
Yeah, appreciate it.
If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We have three tiers in which you can do so. If you're broke, like most, and you don't have any money, just go to iTunes, leave us a five-star review, and we'll leave it. We'll read it on the air.
Samuel, for your contribution this month, I'm drinking again Blue Moon Belgian White.
Yeah, I'm always drinking the same thing. I'm drinking Cazador's tequila and not LaCroix, but is it Soleil?
Yeah, I mean, that's how you say it in French, but like, do you say everything the way that they say it, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know because
I just remember there was a DJ Soleil. And I'm like, your DJ son? That's okay, cool.
Is that Soleil. Is that what Soleil means, son?
Yeah.
Well, they say you learn something every day, and today they're right. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF our good friend, comedian, actress Lindsay Ames.
Hi-yo.
Hey. Thank you so much for being here. Is this how many times have you done this?
Have I done it two or three? This might be my second or my third. I can't remember now.
I know that you did it once to Starburn's place, right? You went. Is that where you were?
And then did we do another one? Yeah, I can't remember now.
I think you did one in my old room too.
Yeah, that wasn't a podcast.
You didn't know we recorded the whole thing and we released it as an episode.
Yeah, you must have gotten eight more followers from it, right? You remember a big spike, like eight people at once?
I did, and then I think I lost eight followers just as quickly.
Well, thanks for coming back. It's great to see you. You're in Hawaii.
Yes, I am.
They let you in there as a Canadian. They're like, yeah, come on over.
They did. It was terrifying to get here, truly. And I did, you guys, right now, I have been. When you go underwater, you can hear the whales. It's bananas. The other day I got so high and I went into the ocean and it was sunny outside, but you could see the moon. And then I dunked my ears under the water and I could just hear whales. And I was like, it doesn't matter.
I would get so high that I would forget to breathe. I mean, well, or breathe underwater.
But here's the thing, you guys, the road to getting here was so messed up, and it's like, this is not vacation. Like, I'm not out there being out in the wild. Like, I am basically isolated away from people, trying not to do anything to like further this pandemic that we're in. I basically have been pretty much I've been like isolated since the lockdown last year, because a week before lockdown, I ended up having an emergency appendectomy.
I remember that. It's so crazy, because I'm like, man, I'm at least in my head, I'm like, at least I'm past that. I'm like, oh, geez, it could happen at any time.
Wait, you had an appendectomy too?
Oh, no. I'm saying that like it can happen any time in your life.
Yeah.
And it was as a child, I was always my best friend got an appendectomy when we were in grade four. And I was so terrified of it. It was like always so stress inducing for me. So the fact that it happened, and it's so weird how it did, because I was supposed to have a My Diary show. I ended up canceling it because I thought I had food poisoning. And then like, it was getting worse and worse and worse. And then by like 5 a.m, like I had not slept yet. I had been like writhing in pain. I was sitting on my floor, rocking back.
Oh gosh.
And I guess I got a fever. I was like puking. And I then by like 7:30 a.m, I was like, I need to go to the hospital. I need to go somewhere and get checked out. And my friend picked me up. Took me to a clinic. They charged me $250 and told me I had to go to a hospital. So then I went to the hospital. This is like COVID has just started. You're hearing about it, but
yeah.
It's been everywhere else in the world, but you're just hearing about it in the US, which means it was everywhere in the US.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And I am sitting in this emergency room for 9 hours. By the end of the day, they go, by the time they actually like got me in, she goes, oh, you've been our patient that's been here the longest all day. And I was like, cool, cool. So I had been awake for over 24 hours, haven't eaten, haven't slept.
That stresses me out so much because that's very delicate time to deal with when that happens, once it ruptures. Well,
it must not have. Did it rupture or was it about to?
Rupture. And what was so crazy is how they even, because by the time they got me like processed, it was 10 p.m. So that's like, I've been now awake 48 hours, not eaten, not slept, like just, I guess that's what awake is. And the doctor came to see me and then he's like, we'll operate on you in the morning. And I was like, you can, what? You can, he's like, yeah, we'll do it. And I was like, what? This is, and as a Canadian, you know, and we always talk about American medical, right? I was like, I'm going to probably die. Like, I'm going to get sepsis. Like, and then that's my motorcycle. I got to get.
You can hear that?
Yeah. Well, turn off your auto adjust volume because it just gets loud when you don't say anything for a while.
Oh, okay.
Love you. And I also love your hat. Wearing a glowing, is it Ariel's?
The Avalanche, Colorado Avalanche, they're playing the best team tonight. We're up 4-1 now.
Amazing. It's an incredible hat. Of course, it's got LED. It's amazing. But yeah, so basically I then had my surgery the next morning. We went into lockdown and then the other awful things happened in my life. And I was like, okay, I'm going to Canada. And I lived in a playroom for about 6 months. And then I had to get back to LA.
A child's playroom or a theater playroom?
Like an actual child's playroom.
So it kept you occupied. You had blocks and stuff.
Oh God, so much clay. Ugh, things I can do. So then, yeah, I need for my green card to get back here. So I hopped on a plane and I'm very isolated, but I'm luckily isolated in paradise. I feel like I've earned it.
I want to go back to Wales.
Yeah.
Please.
Can you only hear them because of COVID or is this a regular thing that you can do?
No, go on.
Oh, like because you're saying, you know what?
Because there's less like fucking boats or whatever. You know, there's all these deers that are just coming down from the woods and shit. No,
I've never seen as many whales as I have this year. Like insane. Like right now, as we're speaking, I am watching like three out in the distance, and it has been every day. It has been prolific, and I've just never seen this much activities.
I read an article that said that sea animals, mammals, I don't know if it was talking about whales or all of them, but they're so loud. If they weren't in the water, we would go deaf from hearing them.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. I read a thing that like whales can like hear each other across half the globe. And so they're all constantly talking to each other. It's like, holy shit, that's weird.
It's crazy.
It's impossible to get away from your parents.
Yeah. Everyone's complaining at the same time. Oh, geez. Not another boat. Another boat. Where? What happened?
So funny. It's nuts. And it's one of the best things I've ever experienced. I just don't remember hearing it any of the other times that I was here, but it's loud and there's a lot.
That's crazy. Do you try to yell back?
I could even do that. I talked to squirrels. A squirrel looked at me the other day because I was talking to him, and that was a win in my book.
I trained a squirrel once when I was a kid in my backyard, and then its family. But I trained it to it ended up being able to come into my house and eat out of my hand in the den window and then run back out. It took like weeks for me to do this, but I will say that one day, this is like after school, I was a total latchkey kid, and like so I have this thing down, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, it won't talk to Doolittle. I can speak to the animals. And then one of the times he came in and it kind of, I guess, lost track of where it was and then freaked out. And it kind of was in the kitchen for a second. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in so much trouble if my mom comes home and sees this fucking squirrel. But it got outside again and I kind of stopped. That's when I stopped doing that.
Oh.
Willie, you ever talk to animals?
I try to communicate with our dog and try to let to see if she knows what I'm saying. I feel like about 50-50.
Yeah. How long have you had her?
Telepathically. I've lived with her for 4 years. 5 years?
I mean, they're just... Dogs are really smart. They get
4 years.
They don't get it.
Well, my cat knows what "I'm going to get you" means. Because she hates being picked up, and I just go, "I'm going to get you." And then she starts wagging her tail like all angry and stuff.
You know what? I have to say, in a year of humans just doing awful, I mean, many years of humans just doing like the awfulest things, I have to say that the animal videos on social media are only getting better and better. So for every contribution that we are making to this earth, it is equally leveraged by the incredible viral animal videos I've been seeing on TikTok lately.
I watched one yesterday that was, it was just an angry cat on TikTok and it was meowing. But then some dude started playing piano to it. And it's the funniest fucking thing. God, it's great.
He does the best ones. There's one that I sent Angela Trimber the other day that was a bird, because she has birds, right? And she loves anything birds. And somebody had little tiny parakeets. And so the piano guy did a stitch with the video where the bird is getting a massage on the head and is going, wah, wah. And it's so funny. And then he's playing piano to it. And it's the most perfect thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I had a bird that my little sister was always mesmerized by, like, look, he's dancing. And I'm like, I didn't ever want to tell her, but like, if you went behind the bird, you could see that he was sitting on our bedpost and he was just masturbating. He's rubbing his balls on the bedpost. I'm like, yeah, he's dancing. Get out of my room.
This is for my eyes only.
Bird people are weird. I don't trust them.
It's a specific affinity and a specific, I don't know. They're not a cuddly thing to me. Like, I feel like
they're not cuddly. They only exist to peck your eyes out, you know?
They seem annoyed with everything.
If you have to clean up shit from another being, you better get some sort of affectionate, reciprocal relationship there. Like, if I have to do anything that deserves poop, I want to cuddle, I want to kiss, I want something.
Totally.
Animal or other, you know, otherwise.
Okay, well, we should get into the topic. So, Willie, what are we talking about today? Oh, wait, no, that's not right. We got to do the whale scale. I'm sorry. God, I'm off my game today. Fuck. We are talking to Lindsay Ames. We're about to do the WOW scale. For those listening, WOW stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. And at the end, Lindsay, I'll give you your score. Don't worry about the score. It's just to let our listeners know if you're more of a Wade or more of a Willie. If you're a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're a 5, you're more of a Willie. Okay. Are you ready?
I always worry about scores, just so you know. It's a genetically predispositioned.
What would you like your score to be?
Honestly, that's a good question. Because you both have very good qualities. I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe I want to be in the middle.
Most people.
Okay, we'll
are.
See if we can make that happen.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to honor answeredly. I'm going to answer honestly.
Yes, please. And honor answeredly as well.
Wow scale. Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, first question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I do believe aliens have got to exist. It's just too big of a lifetime. It's too big. I'm not articulating. Yes,
the I do. Universe.
The universe is too big for us to be the only possible living things. Have they? They have most definitely come here in the last 300 years. They've obviously, they know time travel. They probably can get through black holes. So yeah.
So do you think they visited Earth?
I think they visited Earth. Yes.
In the last 300 years.
Well, according to the Clubhouse conversation that I jumped into the other day, as early as last month for one of the guys.
Okay, so someone was abducted a month ago? Well,
he said he's had some flesh scooped out, and some people really seem to acknowledge that they have also had that happen to them, too. So,
I think it's called getting drunk and falling down.
Okay, so by my answer, I already know where I'm leaning more towards, but yes, I do think that they've been here recently. I don't know about this flesh scooping or the probing. I think people can be a little bit narcissistic. I don't think they're that interested in us.
Is Clubhouse like TikTok? Do you have a room that you would like to plug?
Like, well, I mean, it's like this. I mean, if you like talking to me, if you, it feels like this. It feels like if you were having a conversation with me and potentially a bunch of other people. I host a bunch of different rooms. Sometimes I talk about sandwiches. I mean, really make that sandwich, and sandwich making is my jam, so I do a lot of stuff in there, but I'm in a lot of comedy rooms. I do stand up there sometimes.
How do they find it?
Just go to Clubhouse and you search Lindsay Ames and you'll find me. Then you tell me. And I go into I go into a lot of different and interesting rooms, like, because the way that the app works is that you gotta, whoever you follow defines the algorithm for your hallway. So you want to like follow good people that are in line with what you find interesting. And I'm a type of person, right? It's like, I'm not just into comedy, and I do so many different things. I have so many different interests. So like, I'll go into a bunch of different places where there are sometimes interesting people and sometimes there's not. Sometimes I'm in dumb rooms, you know?
Yeah, it sounds...
It's like analog chat rooms is what it is.
Exactly. It is like analog chat rooms. Here's the thing. You can have so much fun with it, but I agreed. Like, I think I've only been on it like 3.5 weeks, maybe a month. And I'm starting to get a little bit burnt out. But also I am on an island. So it's like, it's fun. And there, and I like I told you guys before, I've been using it for fundraising and spreading awareness on social media. So I'm finding it really good for those things. But I also, you know, I'm connecting and having really fun, make that sandwich rooms. And like, I had a 3-hour conversation. I started a sandwich room the other day, just like I do them on a whim. People really like organize. But if I'm like, I'm walking somewhere and I feel like in the mood to chit chat, I started one. It turned into a 3-hour room because this one guy, Patrick, who is the funniest, didn't know him before, very funny dude, came in and he was so hot takes on how disgusting mayonnaise is, and it just blew this room apart. And it was the funniest, dumbest conversation about, from people advocating for and people like negating how awful mayo is.
But Canada's more pro mayonnaise. I would say on the mayonnaise scale, it's probably Canada, then America, then England.
Absolutely. Like, we are entrenched in our affinity for mayonnaise. We're a mayo based country. Why are healthcare so good?
I don't mind mayo. I hate the idea of mayo.
Yeah.
You know?
See, you would have, listen, in this room, that's what you would have, said something, and then somebody, and there's like, there's all this shit. It's dumb and it's fun and it's something to do, you know?
Okay. And Ames is spelled A-M-E-S for our listeners if they want to check you out on Clubhouse. Question number 2. Do you believe in ghosts?
Okay. Yes, but I also feel like no. So this is where I feel like maybe I'm in the middle. I love horror movies. I don't love gore anymore. I used to be so deep into gore, and now I'm strictly like, if it is haunting and ghosts and whatever, I am obsessed. I just want to get freaked out all the time, although I also hate it. I do think that there's paranormal stuff, but I also think that there's a lot of load of shit around it too.
Have you ever had a ghost story in your life?
I was trying to think of one, because there was another room on Clubhouse the other day where people were telling real ghost stories. And that's the thing. I love listening to like real, I love that shit. Like, I want to hear a bunch of people tell me about when they get haunted. So some of the people I can be like, ooh, that is freaky. And then some of them I can be like, you're full of shit. Shut up. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever had, but I've watched so many ghost shows.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. You're from Canada. What part? And don't just say a name because I don't know anything about Canada.
I think you'll know this. Vancouver, British Columbia.
I don't. Is that just north of us?
Yes, it's like a... I
get them all mixed up. It's like a joke country.
It's beside Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
Bellingham.
Is that part liberal?
Yeah, I'd say Canada. Well, yeah. Yes.
For Canadians, I guess.
I mean, but all of Canada. Well, that's not true. Yeah. But I mean, yes. Yes.
And so, the reason I ask that is because, like, what is religion like in Canada? Do you have all the same crazy Christians and stuff?
Okay, wait, here's what I'm going to say. There's a place called North America, okay? Canada is part of North America, if that helps your brain, like, get wrapped around it.
I know that Mexico is very Catholic.
Yes.
Yeah, but I've never heard any religion about Canada.
Well, Canada, here's the thing. Canada is the States is too. I mean, Canada is a multicultural melting pot. I will say Vancouver, well, whatever. It's a whole, I think there's a multicultural melting pot. There's a lot of education in Canada. There definitely are fanatics of every kind. There are Christians, there are atheists, there are Buddhists, there are, there's tons of Jews, me. There's a lot of Jews there.
That's right. You're Jewish. So were you raised, were you raised religious, like in the Jewish religion, or is it just an ethnicity for you?
For me, it's my plane is here. I'm gonna just hop up there. Private.
Okay, we're not done with the episode, so you're gonna have to miss your plane.
Okay, so I was raised I've had my bat mitzvah. I've been to Israel. I went to Jewish summer camp. But I also particularly, and I'm the only one in my family. Like, I have really reached outside of my community. I am the only person really in my family. I have friends of every single background you could possibly think of. But everybody else in my family is quite like, all of their friends are Jewish. Like, you know, that's like, situated in Vancouver, but I've always really just like, I don't know. I just haven't lived that way. But for me now as an adult, it's like, I'm spiritual. I'm cultural with it. I'm so grateful for my background, because I think the core values of Judaism are so dope. And I think any religion, so long as you're not a fanatic or try to impress it upon others, like, it can be great for you. I just find a lot of the other religions are very much like, you know, they want you and they want
to it's like they don't take care of anybody they get. They just take care of getting everybody.
And it's so funny because the Jews too were just like, no, like, if you want to be Jewish, it's a lot of work, and you have to get rejected a bunch of times before you can convert. It's basically like, the Hollywood of, it makes a lot of sense, the Hollywood of religions. And so, you know, it's like, you really have to prove that it's something that you want. We're not like, everybody come be with us. We're like, no, you stay over there.
Yeah.
Be with us.
But can I say Jews?
You can say Jews. Yeah, as long as you're not like, you fucking Jew. Then it's derogatory, you know? It's all how you say it. But if you're like, are you a Jew? I am a Jew.
Is Judaism, how are they with ghosts? Do they talk about ghosts?
It's funny because I'm actually writing, and I'm not going to get it, but I've started to write a horror feature, and it's and it's like, it's Jewish based. We have a thing. Now all in my brain just keeps saying Babadook, but it's like a Babadook. Bibica, I can't remember the name right now, but it is a funny, like, I can't remember it right now. But there is a demon. There is a demon lore.
Is it just all of the Old Testament, or are there books left out of it?
Is it the
smaller book? Right?
Do you remember that scene at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Where their faces melt?
Yeah.
No, that's...
that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's like the ultimate Jewish horror movie. That's like, they showed us, I remember when I was eight, they showed us that movie at Hebrew school. Maybe I was like seven. And that scene, oh my God, when his face melts and then all, oh my God. Also, they showed us Dark Crystal. And if you remember, the very first scene of Dark Crystal is they strip one of the Stexies naked and then stone him. That's the first
scene of Dark Crystal. Taken straight from the Bible, yeah.
Right. And then there's like the little slave, the cute little slaves that they melt in an oven also. This explains why I am the way I am. Okay.
So you're proving my point that Canada is like a made-up country. You guys are just watching Indiana Jones and Dark Crystal in school.
That's curriculum.
Were you talking about the, I don't know how to pronounce it, Die Book? Die Book?
The Die Book, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Or is it Did a Book? It's Die Book.
This says Die Book. It's a malicious, possessing spirit believed to be dislocated soul of a dead person.
Yeah, and it's in a box. There is a horror movie called The Die Book, but I think there's also just, I was in a room. That's the thing too. There's like all these awesome horror filmmakers that are on Clubhouse, and I go sit in and I listen to their, you know, like everybody, we have conversations about every single facet of horror films and things that people are making or have made. And it's amazing. And somebody I think is making a new Die Book film.
The Die Book 1937. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. But I think there was also one, I feel like in the 90s or early 2000s.
There's Die Book Box from 2019.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No.
Okay. One for the good guys. Question number four. Do you believe in psychics?
Yes, but I also, a psychic basically saved my life, and I am a skeptic.
Okay. Tell the story of how a psychic saved your life.
Basically, I mean, in the sense that she sped up and helped me really get my, like, you need to get the hell out. So, unfortunately, as you guys know, quite a few years ago, I was in quite an abusive relationship. And there was one day where I was actually in my house. I had like lost 10 pounds. I was in an awful place. And I remember I was in my bathroom and I was like, I said out loud, I was crying. And I said out loud, I was like, somebody help me, please. Somebody help me. Like, that's where I was at. And my mom ended up calling me and she was like, I need you to come home to Vancouver. I need you to come here. And I was like, okay. And usually like I'll come for like holidays or certain things, but it was just weird. And I was like, I need to get out of here. So it was like perfect. But she didn't know it. They did not know anything that was happening. A few years earlier, 2 years earlier, a very awful thing happened to my mom and she was like trying to process it. And it was really traumatic and really awful. And so she's always kind of believed in psychics. And so, you know, sometimes they just work like therapists, I think, you know, like they, if they're reading you, then it's like things that you need the answers on. You just need the outside voice. But so my mom had called some famous one. I have to ask her who it was, but she called them. It wasn't even like, so she called to see if she could get an appointment. She wasn't seeing this person in real life. The person who answered the phone, the assistant was like, this lady is actually leaving tomorrow on a book tour. So I'm sorry. And she goes, and then she was like, wait, she's like here now. If you can do like a short read, like we can't do the full reading, but if you want to do like a short reading, we can do that. My mom was like, okay. And they were like, you can, this psychic goes, she gets on and then she's like, you can record this. And she goes, I don't want you to say anything other than yes and no to my question. Like, and then we'll go. So it's like she had these worlds, right? So it wasn't like there could be anything fed. So I'm listening to this thing. And right away, this woman pulling out stuff that it's like, I don't know. Even if you Googled, the way the whole thing went, even if you had time to Google, I don't know how you would ever find. My mom has no footprint. The things that happened, like it was names. She was Lottie and Maxwell and Sorella, she pulled out those names. That those are my grandparents that all like you. Those are not normal names also for grandparents.
Right. Yeah.
She pulled out specific my uncle's heart surgery and my aunt's breast cancer, like all this stuff that she was coming out with, not asking my mom. And then, you know, okay. So we're listening to this thing for like an hour and it's by this point, I'm like, this
that's
is
a short one going.
Yeah, I know. Right. Or maybe it was like half an hour or something. So I'm listening for a good chunk of time and it's like, wow, this is crazy. And then all of a sudden my mom goes, how's Lindsay? And she goes, really, she's not good. She's in a very dangerous place. She goes, I see she in a relationship? Yes. I see a tall, sandy blonde guy. He's living like in her stomach. And that's like, I couldn't eat anything. All my digestion was so fucked. But she was like, he's living in her stomach. He's a real bad boy. And I think if you guys remember who I'm talking about, he used to refer to himself as a bad boy. I've never heard anybody use that dumb term like for themselves. You know, but like the bad boy comedy and stuff. And I'd be like, shut up. But so she used that term and then she goes, are they married? And I was like, no. And she goes, are they engaged? And my stomach dropped because like he legitimately all the time would be like, you're my wife. You're my wife. I want to marry you. I want to marry you. Will you be my wife? Like it was like a huge thing for him. And she was like, she needs to get away from this person. He's draining her of like everything. It was just all the stuff. And like, I had not, my mom and my sister.
Wow.
Knew nothing. And I broke down. And then it was like, I was able to go back. And then I had to start all the stuff. Like, you know, I ended up having to take it to court. I had to kick him out of my place. Like it was the thing that intercede and allowed me to get this space. Cause when you're in an abusive relationship, they isolate you and your world is just like, you don't have your world and you don't feel empowered and you feel trapped. And so this, you know, my mom had listened to this thing. That's why she got me to come home. She had no idea anything was happening. And then when she played this and saw this happening, then it was like, I broke down and then they were able to like help me help myself to get out of the position.
That's remarkable.
It really was. And I feel like there are probably a lot of not real people. I think there's probably varying degrees of psychicness. But I do think that that was otherworldly and I am so grateful for it.
Okay. Last question.
This is the entire story.
Yeah.
Are you superstitious?
Yes, unfortunately. Not crazy, but like a thing my mom used to say, I still don't, when I was little, I put a hat on the bed and my mom like swished it off and I still don't even really, it's something to do with death. But I now like if my hat ever gets on the bed, like I don't even know, I have to move it.
That's back when everybody wore a hat and there was a place to put your hat when you walked in. I'll put it on the bed. It goes on the thing.
But I definitely, when I was younger with acting stuff, I was so superstitious. I had so many things and I don't have those anymore. I've given up a lot of that stuff. But the hat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, I want to put you as a three. I just want to put you halfway.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a halfway.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, that's where I want it to be.
Yeah, so it came true. So you were psychic in your own right.
Right. It's like I'm always kind of like willing to go wherever, but I also have some skepticism, but not as much skepticism as others. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I'm willing to entertain, and I also have a healthy dose of, like, wonder.
Willie, do you want to hit us with the topic, and then we'll take another quick break?
Word. Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, OBEs. Out-of-body experiences. Is there anything to this from the scientific world's perspective? is there anything to this that science can back up? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
We are here talking to our good friend, comedian, actress, Lindsay Ames. When do you do these diary readings?
Well, I have been starting to do them again. They used to be live in Los Angeles at Dynasty Typewriter. They were at the Upright Citizens Brigade before that. We'll see what happens if I bring it back in any live capacity, but, it's on Clubhouse. I've been doing it on Clubhouse a little bit. But I'm also hopefully going to be moving back to doing Make That Sandwich. I did a live pop-up and show for that right before lockdown. Yeah. It went so well. We sold out. It was calamity what happened that night, but we rose above and it was an incredible show. And I was supposed to be touring it all of 2020. I was supposed to be touring Make That Sandwich, My Diary, and stand up at every comedy festival and everything. Like, that was the plan. It was like, okay, we are going to go tour. All these entities that I've been working on are going to come together and just, it's my year. It's my time. I've been patient. And then it was like, nope. So I'm trying to, come back and be Make That Sandwich, which I got to get you guys to play.
You know, what's great is,
one before we go, we'll play one round before we end this episode. Let's play around and make that sandwich, and then I'll do it as an episode.
Okay.
the best thing that happened in the pandemic for you is that a lot of people went back to sandwiches, right?
Everything got real.
People that gave up on sandwiches for years are back.
First of all, you should never give up on sandwiches. They're the perfect food.
Absolutely.
But let's get into out of body experiences. Lindsay, do you have any experience with being out of your body?
I do, and that's why I wanted to. Willie and I were talking about it, and I was like, "This is what I want to talk about because I've never. It's only happened once. I have no idea what happened." And I wish I could experience it again. And I want to know, I just want to know, what if it wasn't actually an outer body experience, because I'm not sure that it really, I mean, it was, but I don't, it's like, I want to know what happened in my brain that made that happen. Because that's, I think, what I, that what mess. Okay, I'll explain.
What? Yeah. What was the actual experience? Did you see yourself lying in a hospital bed?
No, I was 17. It was probably 2:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon. I was away at camp. I had not been around the weed for over a month and a half. So it was daytime, alert. I was in the middle of having a breakup conversation with my boyfriend at the time, but it was not a, he was lovely. Like, it was just a very, it was a conversation. It's a conversation you don't want to have, but it's like, it was a camp relationship. He was my buddy and I just had to break it to him. You know, it wasn't a big deal. He's not, it wasn't a super emotional. God, if that just could have been the rest of my life that. So we're like,
listen, none of my life is emotional. You're not missing anything. I'm just like a dead person walking around all the time.
So we're sitting on this rock and you're allowed to smoke cigarettes at this camp by the time Yeah, it was crazy. You're supposed to get a letter from your parents. Of course, everybody forged the letters that, what parents would be like, yeah, Lindsay can smoke it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's a smoker. Let her do her thing. Peace out, Dad.
Peace out.
So I remember smoking Belmont Milds. It's the afternoon. We're having the conversation and I'm the one that's talking. And we've been in the conversation for maybe 15, 20 minutes. Maybe I was just so bored that I slept. And this was actually just a dream that I had while being awake with him. But we were talking. It was my turn. I was talking. And it's as if the way to describe it is so you're looking out and seeing whatever you're seeing. But then it's almost Wade, are you typing while I'm telling you this?
A little bit.
He's journaling your experience.
Wait, what? Can you hear that? Or can you see me doing it?
I can hear it and I can see it.
Well, I got busted. I was answering a text about the nuggets.
I was just going to say to everyone that my out-of-body experience is not even enough to keep Wade into this. Hold on. I have to tell my mom that I'm still recording, because then... So maybe mute for a sec, because I'm going to yell for 1 second. Hold on. Okay. Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay, here we go. Wait, are you done typing? You can type. You don't need to pay attention to this. Nobody does.
I can do both. I'm a man of the 21st century.
I know. Absolutely.
And I just want everybody in the audience to know, the people that are listening, that they can just do whatever. They can even mute this part. And then, like, maybe 3 minutes from now, turn the volume back. Okay? So I'll try to keep it fast.
So you're talking to your boyfriend. You're talking.
But this is what it looks like, okay? If you're just right now, you're looking at something, it's as if you are in, this is what happened to me, in my brain, as if I was like in a chair that all of a sudden pushed all the way to the back of the room. And like, I feel like horror movies have done this. Like, you know when a room elongates?
Yeah, it's like, a Hitchcock shot.
Right. Okay, yes. Thank you. I was like, who is so dumb?
And everybody's copied it. Yeah, but go on.
Yeah, everybody's copied it. Okay, so that it's like that, and it was slow. And then, so it was like I was at the back of my head, but it was like a long way away. And then I kind of came up and I saw us for a second. Like, I saw us. And then as soon as I saw us, I then snapped back in. I didn't even see it to him. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. To this day, I just... It's the weirdest thing. I've never had anything like that happen before. Totally sober. Well, I saw us.
Willie, do you have? Is there like a list of different kinds of out of body experiences? Or,
well, yeah. So here's the thing. I love that your story is that simple, and Because the thing is every time that we've tried to talk about this, we just get too either spiritual, too about consciousness, about the soul, whatever. And it's just like, look, I want to sit back and just go like, okay, what does science have to say about any of this, right? So let me just go to the, obviously I'm just going to Wikipedia, but I'm just going to go talk about the different types of out-of-body experiences first. Basically, there's the spontaneous out of body experience, which is when you're during sleep or near sleep, right? Where it's just like could be initiating a lucid dream state or whatever. But in most cases, people claim to be on the verge of sleep, and then they just like kind of pop out, right? Pop out of themselves. They see themselves.
Yeah.
And
let me interrupt real quick. Is astral projection a part of this, or is that a completely different
thing? Well, astral projection is similar in that you are leaving your body, but you're doing that on purpose. It's not spontaneous. It's one of the induced versions. Yeah. So basically there's induced or spontaneous. So whenever people have them, it's either they're just either near sleep or near death. Basically, people that have
died. So this
guy
was boring you so bad that you were about to die. You were about to be bored to death.
A lot of near-death experiences. You know, people talk about hovering over their body during surgeries.
That's the one I'm most familiar with.
Right. Yeah. That's why I'm saying daytime. But now, you know what's so silly is that I know all about astral projection. I even have like a bit in my stand-up about it, and I never even once thought, oh, maybe somehow I just slipped into that.
Are you friends with Duncan at all?
Duncan
Trussell? Duncan Trussell or Pete Holmes?
No, I've never talked. Because don't they do?
They're both very into it, yeah.
They're both into astral projection, where they like, you can like set things up for them to look at and stuff.
Do they study at David Lynch's foundation? Probably.
Is David Lynch in the astral projection?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? They probably do, because that's a big like Hollywood thing, is that like David Lynch has this like amazing foundation, and you can go, and you'll go. You have to pay certain amount of money and you get some sort of prayer that's given to you that like it's all based on, I'm totally talking out of my ass waiting in half the way, but basically you're part of this foundation and you work and you learn how to astral project.
I mean, I've heard them talk about it and I just don't, it just seems like hogwash to me, but Willie, go on with the types of out of body experiences.
So another type of spontaneous is resulting from extreme physical effort, right? Where it's just like, you know, the last time we talked about it, Dave Klein was talking about how he's swimming so hard that like all the physical exertion, like was probably close to drowning, close to near death or whatever, but just popped out of himself and could see.
He saw himself.
Yeah. And so the other side are induced out of body experiences. Usually they can be done with hallucinogens, mushrooms, ketamine, DMT, MDMA, LSD. And then also mental induction, which would be, you know, like meditation, visualization, deep trance stuff, you know, like where you're, that's the point of it. Astral projecting is what this is. And then there's the mechanical induction, the brainwave synchronization. Binaural beats can help do that. So that's one way to stimulate that.
What's binaural?
Well, there.
No, go.
Go ahead.
You'll tell him, but I want you to tell him, but I just want to say that I have one for both of you guys that I have. I'll tell everybody because anybody that I've given this one to, and I'll. It's the best. It's the best thing you've ever heard. Okay, go, Willie, say it.
Well, the way that I don't even know. Basically, they're like you can't perceive or hear these beats, but they're just like these types of sounds that you can't hear. They mix them together and they kind of can force you into
meditative state. Yeah, and like. Yeah. Like basically they're just like, yeah, beats that are dropped within, yeah, different music and you don't know, but it'll like help adjust your mood.
So a lot of people use them to like reduce stress, reduce anxiety. Like you can't even perceive that they're happening, but they have a calming effect to you. Mm-hmm.
Like right now, as you're typing stressed out about the Nuggets, like it would play in and just kind of wash over you. delicate way.
I'm very here. I get it. Binaural is neural sounds that swing both ways. They like men and women. I get it.
I love it. It's like you forget that we're on Zoom as we're recording this. It's the best. Totally changes. Like, everybody at home just in Wade's face totally changes when he's like in the zone emailing. It's great. Okay. Continually.
So I have some stories that we can go into, but I just wanted to say that so the weird thing about out of body experiences is for most people that have experienced them, they interpret them based on their belief system. And so it's weird to hear somebody's story because their belief system can make you tune them out.
Cause if they're into Jesus, they say it's Jesus or whatever. Right.
And then you're like, well, then, yeah, that makes sense. It's a direct, you know, like it's.
I saw thing. Myself. I was in heaven. It's like, well, you're in heaven. Okay, fuck off. Whatever.
What makes this, why it's been so confusing for me is because, yes, it was daytime, nowhere near sleep, nowhere near drugs of any kind, you know, not emotionally triggering,
yeah. Really. So I've got some science stuff to go into, but I will just say that like when it comes to
well, before you do that, have you ever tried to do this at all, or have you been successful? I can't think of a time where I've had an out of body experience.
I mean, I had one where when I was a kid, I remember being up in the corner of the room watching myself crying at the bed of my parents' bed.
This episode is so depressing. You guys are just talking about like abuse and like broken families.
Is it bumping you? I thought you said you couldn't feel anything.
I'm always thinking about the listeners.
I know, but I want to know if the listeners, I don't know, are we bumming all of you out?
No.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
So like, you know, science doesn't really acknowledge this phenomenon right now. It's witchcraft. But people have done studies on it and stuff. And I will say that the popular, well, whatever popular, if you have experienced sleep paralysis, some people say it's because you could be at that point of popping in or out of your body too. Like you may have popped out, and like the reason why you can't move is because you are sitting in your body, but you haven't joined your body yet.
Exactly. It's like it's on a muscular level. It's on a physiological level. That's why I was always like, oh, well, I've watched those movies, Sleep or whatever. The ones about apnea and people who think that they have been visited in the night. And that can also be because of sleep apnea and sleep paralysis. But it just was not that. But I just wonder if maybe potentially what happened, you know, you're saying when people, of course, take like acid, ketamine, whatever, they can see themselves. So maybe at that time, somehow there was a chemical that was triggered that potentially allowed that to happen. I don't know. A little chemical reaction in my brain.
Yeah. I mean, like if one of the ways is like LSD and stuff like that, because like what is the death one that people do now? DMT?
Yeah. DMT.
Because that's just like a chemical that's released in your brain when you're dying, and people have like somehow harvested it and now they'll take it just for like to trip or whatever. So it could, it could be like a chemical thing, but.
Because I don't really think, I don't think it was like a otherworldly, like I don't associate it within myself.
The thing is if, we were never taught that that was even possible, right? So like to people that know that it's possible, there's a different learning curve of like, well, what to even do. Like your experiences can be brushed off by your beliefs too. It's like, that didn't really happen.
Oh my God, what if I totally cut off this, like that all this time, like that is like a superpower of mine, you know, that I can do that. And I've just cut it off all this time because I was just like,
That's the thing. So I always compare this to, I'm not going to get too crazy, but like our dreams, if our dreams were really taking place in that we could actually go places, our consciousness could like travel, but we never went because it was like we were never told that we were going anywhere. Like, no, this is a dream, means nothing. Like, don't pay attention to that.
The whole dream thing, man.
I know. So I'm dropping that quick because it's easy to
it's like the last week and a half I've been obsessed with, and we won't go here, but I am gonna go here for a second. You know, I had gone down this deep dark hole, and I'm sure you guys must have already talked about this many times on this show. That like it's more mathematically probable that we are a simulation.
We've talked about it. I kind of believe in it, honestly.
So here's my thing. I want to get into the science stuff, but like if you just take a step back and look at our existence, and you look at how all of our perceptions, picture everything you've experienced in the world, and then just say, hey, your brain created that. Your brain is this little 2.5 pound mass of crap that can only work in your body. And like, can you say that all of your experiences are attributed to your brain? You know, like your whole imaginative, crazy, every emotion, everything you've ever experienced was made by your brain. Whatever. I don't want to get into that discussion because it's too big, but it's just like, what? There's a chance that we might just these might be meat cars that we just jumped into. And so that's what I want to get into next.
So you're attributing the brain as part of the meat car. So you're differentiating between like consciousness and like brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when it comes to, and it's weird because I feel like the little bit of research that's been done with out of body experiences points in that direction. And so there's these guys, there's this guy. Hold on first. You remember that movie, with Kirk Cameron and Dudley Moore. I forget the name of it. Where they switch bodies?
I think it's that one's called Trading Places, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So in that one, they go to some other – they go to some place because what happens is when a surgery needs to be done – they take this drug, they switch bodies because the shaman could handle the pain. So he gets in your body and handles the pain, and then they switch back.
That's what happens in that movie?
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. It's an interesting start, you know. But so our body, if you take it from that level of, some people say that you have an auto body experience because you know you're about to experience something bad. And instead of needing to deal with the memory, deal with that physical trauma, you pop out so that it helps you forget it. So you don't need to relive that thing over and over and over.
Torture. I've heard that a lot.
I mean, I could hear myself talking, and then it sounded like, you know, and then the experience was happening. So I guess, yeah, I had a classic dissociative. But it's just so weird that I saw everything.
Yours is so interesting because nothing was happening.
Nothing.
a dumb breakup for a summer romance or whatever.
I maybe felt a little bit nervous in my stomach to have a confrontation, but you know, it's like,
well, and that's, I feel like that's all it takes without knowing anything, like without being trained on how to do it. It's like, I'm nervous. I'm out of here. I'm checking out.
I guess
that would be debilitating for me. I would be checked out 90% of my life. I'm constantly nervous.
Oh my God. Wade, you have been typing this entire time. You are checked out already.
So one idea before I'll get into the science stuff, but one idea is that our existence is, and this is, I love this stuff because when I can connect things, it's like, oh, you know, string theory suggests that universe on the most basic level is a vibrating string. And so the whole, everything you see, everything we experience is vibrational energy. And so one idea is that your consciousness can vibrate out of your body. And it can vibrate in, like tuning into a radio station. So there's this guy, you know, he did this TED talk. He studies brains, whatever. And he was talking to a schizophrenic person, and the person got real quiet, and the nurse came up and just kind of shook his body. He's like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "Well, I need to shake his body to get him back into it." And so he started interviewing the schizophrenic person, like, What was your experience of that situation? And his experience was that he popped out of his body. He was in the room. And then when she shook him, it helped him identify where he was supposed to be. It was just like it shaking his body made him vibrate back into it.
I mean, that's also like, it's interesting because I do know for trauma stuff, like if somebody is having an episode, like somebody's having a really traumatic episode, there's a thing that they can do for themselves. Like you cross your arms over, like even if, I think it works, even if you're just having any kind of like anxiety, your mind is spinning out, you basically like cross your arms and then just rub your arms down and like keep rubbing yourself like that. And it brings you back into your body and stops what's happening in your head.
Yeah. Like for me, if I'm ever having a panic attack, like the best thing to do is just touch me, because that physicalness will like get me out of my head. I'm having a mental freak out, not about, and so like touch my body. And it's like, oh, this is reality. And it makes me focus on the things that aren't real. Like touch, whatever. We're in a crazy place right now because this guy, Henrik Ehrsson, what they're studying, they've been like tricking people into having.
Wait, this is a new guy. This is not the TED Talk guy.
This is the TED Talk guy, but he's like a brain, you know, as dumb as I can sound. He's like some brain study guy that's like trying to.
He's a neurologist.
We're on the precipice of the movie Avatar. And so,
Well, I don't want that.
But this is what's happening, is that they're taking the science of tricking people's minds into.
But this goes in then to the simulation stuff.
Yeah. But we're here. And so it's weird because us trying to figure out how to put our bodies into our consciousness into robotics and AI is like a good parallel on what life might be, you know? So the whole idea is that, like, you know, they're trying to help identify parts of the brain so that when they give people fake limbs, they can like turn those things on in their brain. And so what they've identified is that, like, when you have a video, if let's say I'm watching a video and the video I'm watching is a camera of behind me. And so, like, if you're touching my chest while in the video, it looks like something is touching where your chest would be, you can like disassociate from your body and associate to the virtual version of yourself. And so they're trying to map out basically places where what they've come to is that there's something in our brain that identifies with which body we're in. And so, or where we're at spatially compared to other bodies. And so they keep doing these studies where they'll like have somebody in this tube that is like touching them whenever they touch. So just to get that rhythm going of like, hey, when you see me touching, this is the body that I want you to associate with, even though you see your body in the camera shot. And then they'll move that body around the room to see if there's something in the brain that identifies with where that body is in the room. And so they've basically come up with the idea that this out-of-body illusion, they can trick you into being in a different place, but actually that – your brain identifies that different place too. And it has to be a human body representation. They've tried other things, objects, different animals. And it's like your brain will never associate it with something that doesn't look human. It could be a mannequin as long as it has the same parts and stuff, you know?
Is this at all like, have you guys seen where they'll put their hands on a table and then they'll put a cardboard barrier up and they'll put a fake hand on the other side of it. And then they'll rub your hand in the same way that they're rubbing the fake hand. And then they stab it with a knife.
Yes, this is that.
Oh, my.
They are tricking people crazy. But the whole point of it is to try to map out to the brain. Because like in a lot of them that they do, they don't have a fake hand. There'll be no hand there. But they're rubbing nothing and rubbing your hand at the same time, and your brain will create a fake hand there.
Yeah, and, it's like amputees and stuff. Like they still feel where their hand is supposed to be.
And so, they're because of this mapping, they've figured out that like your brain has a spot where it's like body ownership and self-location. And so they're, you know, ultimately they're trying to make the movie Avatar real, because let's say somebody needs to go disarm a bomb or something. It's like the idea is if we can learn how the brain can identify to attach itself to something, we can put your consciousness into a robot and go disarm a bomb. Or, you know, and you know, it's all fun, it's all science, but like the singularity
is coming.
If you take the military version or the Avatar version, it's like, oh yeah, if we're going to like take over another planet, like let's just have people put their consciousness into a robot and go do it so that we don't lose any life. We can just keep making robots, whatever. I mean, that's not where I'm going, but I'm just saying
that's also not what Avatar was about, but.
Well, yeah, I know. And Ender's Game and you know, whatever, just, but the idea that, your consciousness can adapt to a new body to get some work done and then pop back into yours. Like that's what they're trying to figure out.
I just feel like it's like the second you have a dream, you pull out of it, right? The second you realize you're having a dream, you pull out of it. And like, I can imagine that being the same problem where you're like a robot soldier. And then this, like the second you realize you're a robot soldier, it would be very hard to maintain that connection, you know?
But you get so trained that you are able to override that.
But the idea is that they learn how to maintain that by.
I don't think so, man. I think it's going to be a very tenuous connection, and it's not going to work. It's like when they tried to train dolphins to like sniff out bombs or whatever the fuck they did with dolphins, and it's like, yeah, in theory, maybe.
Are you talking about that?
What's that?
Are you talking about when they used to give them acid?
No. Well, maybe they were doing it at the same time, but
because they were trying to see if they could teach them also how to speak. They were trying to give them acid and also seeing if they could teach them how to speak English.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's, I mean, God, what a stupid thing to try to do.
It led to hand jobs, and you know, it was, that's how.
Yeah, they just were very horny, right?
Yeah.
Well, but no matter what you believe, it's just like they've identified a part in your brain that identifies which body it's in.
So, sure.
And so I you know,
I just think the practical applications are, you're just going to get killed by the tribal guy because you're going to be in a robot.
Can I just
and like
say so? Yeah. It's like we're talking so deep about the scientificness of this, and all I keep thinking of is I had a French Canadian ex-boyfriend, and he was obsessed with astral projection for a while. And this one time, he was, all I could keep hearing in my head as we're having this conversation is him going, "Hey, this guy I know, oh man, this is so nice. This is what he did with the astral projection. Okay, he got so fucking good at doing the astral projection. This girl, she like live across the street and she's super hot and she move in, and he goes into his astral projection and gets all the way over to her house, and she's taking a shower and he can watch the entire thing." Boss. That's all I can hear as we're talking about this, like, super scientific. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, no, but like that's a good point too. Like every new technology that we come up with ultimately devolves into porn. And like this would just be that. Like the second that we are like, oh yeah, astral projection's real, it's just gonna be pervs.
Yeah, everywhere.
Like, oh yeah, that, you know, we built an army and then we had sex with the army.
For sure someone is having sex with that army. Yeah.
Would you guys, if astral projection is a thing and it's prevalent and you know that like anyone could be watching you at any time, do you mind? Or are you like, well, as long as it doesn't end up on the internet?
Well, it's
weird. Does everyone just stop showering at that point?
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, it would be chaos.
I mean,
it doesn't sound great. I mean, we ruin everything. Social media is a cesspool.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah.
I love the astral projector that is just commenting on everybody's photos because they were there. And it's like, it wasn't really like that.
Yeah. Filters. So many filters. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, the biggest application for anything is just spying, right? But
sure. Yeah.
Is what?
Spying.
Oh, spying. Yeah.
And so that, I mean, you know, if you, they have pushed these studies to the limit of, you know, as far as they can go with it. So it's like, and none of those are on the record either, you know? So it's all hearsay and, but when they do start to look into this stuff, it's like, you know, this company is trying to make fake limbs for people, but it's like, as soon as they can map anything, and like, you know, the whole idea is that you can recreate anything eventually in someone's brain so much so that you can, it's like the, you know, when they like a wireless charging technology for a toothbrush.
Okay.
It's like, you don't need to plug in the toothbrush, but you can, by creating the field outside of it, you charge the toothbrush. So like in the same parallel of a brain, if you can tell what a brain is doing by looking at the subtle energy outside of it, can you recreate what's inside of it by copying the outside of it?
Yeah, I just like that. That even bothers me. Like, I know that it exists and you can wirelessly charge stuff, but I don't understand it. And so I think it's witchcraft. I'm pretty old school. And I think most new technology is just witchcraft.
And that, but that,
how do you charge something that, well, also you have to put it on the pad, right?
But that feels very not Wade. Wade, that feels like a very Willy thing that you just said, that you would even believe anything is witchcraft of any kind.
I just can't. Hang on. Let me, I'll walk that back a little bit, and I'll say that like wireless charging is kind of bullshit because you still have to put it on that pad. So it's not
right.
Yeah. There's wires, but you're still making a connection.
Yes.
But the connection is non-physical. You know, it's not that it's sitting there.
It's physical.
But it's the fact that it's sitting in the field, not.
Which is physical, isn't it?
Well, I don't believe there's anything physical.
Well, it just depends on your definition. Well,
like, are you saying blanket? Are you saying on the whole, you don't believe anything is physical?
Yeah.
Well, he believes that everything is made of strings.
Well, I think that we have a physical experience, but the universe is non-physical. Like when you picture this piece of metal still has little atoms that are moving in it.
Right.
And there's more space in this than non-space.
It's a very optimistic way to look at the world because it means that like this doesn't matter and there's more later.
None of this matters though. None of this matters.
Well, it depends on your philosophy. You know, I mean, like,
I'd be surprised. Like, I figure you're like a nihilist who's like,
I am totally a nihilist, and I do not believe that any of this matters. But I also believe that it's finite, and when we die, we're done. I think this is a hopeful new form science Christianity where it's like, oh no, it's cool. Like we can, after this, we'll like move on to like this energy realm or whatever it is. And I don't know.
I think there is a conscious disconnect. I do think that's why I have a hard time with ghosts and stuff, because I do feel like when I go, I'm gone. Like, I don't feel but then that's also is kind of like that, you know, truly when people are like, visualization, right? Visualization and abundance, like really we are all our own limiters. The only reason we put caps on things is because of our inability to have our brain believe that anything is possible.
Yeah. And so here's the weird thing, right? Like when I look at all this stuff, I take it as, and this is a bad parallel, but the reality is so abstract that you have to have a bad parallel. And so I'm like, how do you, let's say that you could compare our existence to the electricity in a computer on a motherboard, right? So it's been done before. It's so stupid, whatever. But it's like, how do you train the energy what to do? You got to turn left here. Oh, you got to turn right here. And so I'm like, I think that our existence could be like, hey, let's put the brakes on the possibility of everything so that you learn something, so that when you can do anything, you have it's like, how do you train energy to be energy? Well, you have to like contain it to teach it anything. Otherwise it's going to dissipate into everything. And so like
Lindsay's squirrel, you have to contain it to teach it to come in to get the nuts. But then there can be times where the energy is like, fuck, I'm totally lost. I'm going to freak out right now.
Yeah. Like, where the fuck am I? It's like, you're having fun. Everything's great.
And go wild in the kitchen.
Enjoy this. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And so to me, that is a great parallel, Wade, that like, We have to have a step before we vibrate into the next existence. Because if we just went straight into the universe, we're just going to be lost. And I'm not saying that we're learning anything valuable as our human existence, but maybe just the fact of being human is enough to have an identity before you join the universe. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm coming up with this stuff too.
Well, I would say this. I mean, hopefully if you are right about this thing, then when we become energy and we're in the universe, we would at least be as capable as a baby deer who can walk, you know, like, because if we're just thrown out there and we have no idea what to do, then yeah, like it's going to be fucking chaos.
Yeah, and
but but my point is, I guess, is that like we're all trained to be able to survive, right? Like humans suck, but we're dominant, and so there is something inside of us that like tells us exactly what to do.
And the weird thing is, because of the way that our brains develop, we have a longer existence of not being able to defend ourselves. You know, like when a giraffe is born, it can run and eat for itself. Like it starts day one knowing everything it's ever going to know. Whereas we have to be protected for a while.
Dependent.
Yeah.
But don't you think so? But don't you think I think I'm agreeing with you that like maybe this, if I'm full in on your theory and there is like an afterlife and we're energy, that this must be some sort of training ground for that, right?
Yeah, and that like if the no one's got it right here. I'm
oh my
not
God,
right.
If it is, yeah. If this is a training ground for that, then I mean we're gonna do a shit job like in the next life.
Well, maybe, but like who knows? I mean, maybe on your deathbed, like everything becomes clear and you go like, holy shit, why did I care so much about like making money on ice cream? Why was I not more like Ben and Jerry and like giving money to more social things? I just took all the profits of my ice cream business.
I think I'm already there.
And so like
I think I'm there too. That's what I'm saying. Like
this is a bad
but everybody thinks they're more enlightened than they are, right?
Yeah. And this is a bad parallel, bad justification, bad everything. But when I you know, I grew up in the church so hard that when I hear sins of the flesh, it makes me go like, oh yeah. Like anything physical that you appreciate too much takes you away from the soul experience because like, oh yeah, well, I like, yeah. You know, I need this, but I'm not
so
connecting to this.
Backwards. That's so stupid. Why do orgasms feel good if we're not supposed to have them?
Well, but I'm just like,
I didn't take that from what he said. Like, I didn't take, that we're not it's just that when you're having those things, but an orgasm is bringing you really into yourself. So
that's what I'm saying. So like, I hate the church.
I'm in the middle of you guys.
Because they just want you to feel bad about yourself all the time for these things that are very human.
Yeah. 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 I agree with that too. I mean, that they're a bigger stain than, you know, like the.
Yeah. They're the worst. Sorry guys.
Us and dolphins, we like to fuck. And it's because we're smart and we're supposed to fuck, you know? Turtles, they don't give a fuck about orgasms. And turtles are lame and we don't need turtles.
No, that's not true. I just came up with a bunch of real, like I just stumbled upon a few real ones and it was the most magical thing I've ever seen. So,
okay, so turtles, they would gladly eat your finger. Happy.
Yeah, for sure they would, but they should. What'd you say? What did she say? Wait.
Turtles only exist to make us happy because we're the important ones. Turtles are not important.
Very true. Okay.
Listen, I'm gonna go full in on anti-turtles. We don't need turtles.
Oh my God. You can't even get me started. They're the most magical. We're not going there.
They're like slow. They're like old people. Honestly, yeah. We don't need old people. We should do a thing where we kill everyone when they turn 60.
60 is still young.
We could
I did it a little low.
We could do a TV show though, it's like once you're 70, like you have to join the TV show and you guys have to fight each other and
Oh, to the death. Those are always good. Yeah. Really, like, let's go out in a traumatic way. That's the way.
Listen, maybe we don't have to kill them, but they should lose their voting rights.
If you think that like society is evolving, yes, that's the first thing that should go.
For sure. Okay, you guys, I have to A, go to the bathroom again, and then B, I have to unload these groceries. So.
Okay, well, wait, hang on, because this is actually a good time to end the episode and jump into the bonus, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Did we do enough? Do you guys just, I know that you have to go to the bathroom, but do you want to like have any final thoughts on this thing?
Yeah. I think we did. Sorry, Willie, I totally interrupted. I think we covered a lot of good stuff. And I think all the serious stuff we talked about, I think it's funny and fun, and I don't think it's like too serious.
Oh, it'll be fine. I have to mine comedy from somewhere, and if I'm not punching down on you guys, I don't know where to get it from.
No, true. Okay. But what were you gonna say?
My only quick thing is that it is crazy where we are at technology wise when it comes to out of body experiences in regards to the brain, because I'm like, if we're whatever we're able to do currently, let's picture joining your consciousness into a robot. I'm telling you, the military has already done it, and it's crazy to think of what's possible. If we're going to explore the universe, it's going to be with probes and robots, not with we're not sending humans out, you know. And so just saying that, like, I can't – I'm more excited to see that future where it's like, hey, you can be a robot. Go to Mars instead of like waiting for the video to come back. It's like, I'm there.
I'm this robot. I cannot wrap my brain around that.
Willie, your problem is you think that anything that exists in theory, the military has already done. And like,
yeah, I was just like, how do –
Well, there's no way. There's no way that we have people occupying robots right
but
now.
This is some weird guy from Austria that like had to get money donated to him. And I'm like, the military is spending all of our money researching everything.
Yeah. Well, but that doesn't mean that this could be like 1,000 years in the future. And you're acting like it's 20 years in the future.
I know. Well, I think the military has more money than all of the 1%.
They have more money, but that doesn't mean that they can just like crack the code on like these weird fucking witchcraft things that you think are possible, but only exist in theory.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You really think that they're investing their money in fucking trillion-dollar planes that don't work. They're morons. The army, the fucking military, is stupid. That's why military intelligence is like classically an oxymoron.
But like the military, like picture the. This is a bad parallel, but like the movie The Men That Stare at Goats. Like they, I believe that they can astral project and that they have spies that astral project into situations, and like they make this fun, stupid movie about how dumb it is. But it's like that's because it's
They I'm going to make really fun of you for it. Believing that. Lindsay, you want to shout out your socials or any kind of plugs?
Find me on the internet at Lindsay Ames, at Make That Sandwich, at No Meal Wasted. If you like Clubhouse and you liked this conversation, you can find me there for other conversations for the next few weeks until I integrate into real society.
All right, great. Thanks for being here. You are relieved. We'll catch up with you on the bonus episode when you come back. So you don't have to listen to our plugs if you don't want to. Willie, what are you plugging?
Willie Bad Movies and Robotic Willie. Willie with a Y on all the things. TikTok, I believe I'm Willie Bad Movies. Whatever. Yeah, go find me. I'm trying to do some shit. What about you, Wade?
I'll just plug my TikTok again. I haven't done anything in a couple weeks, but I'm gonna pick it up. I'm in a creative slump and it's tough, but I'll get back on there eventually.
Hey, did you ever make a commercial for I Hate Myself? I mean, I know you didn't, but you guys should make a little quick commercial so I can put it on our show.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
So new podcast.
Yeah. Oh, do you want me to launch it? Okay. Yeah. So I Hate Myself is the podcast I'm doing with Joe Troman. He's from Fall Out Boy, and he has depression, and so do I. And we talk to other people in the entertainment industry with depression, and just how do we deal with it? And we make it funny. It's fun. I hope. You're not alone if you have depression, is the point of the thing. Like, you can
trauma bond. Okay,
feel bad. Huh?
I said trauma bond.
Bond. Bond. Trauma bond.
Trauma bond.
Oh, trauma. Hey,
you're are you able to edit all of that stuff out?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, wait, I have to end the episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Remember, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi if you want to contribute. If not, go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. We'll read it on the air. And remember that everything, God damn it, fuck me. Here's the real ending. Just because it doesn't go after you. Thanks for listening, everybody.